Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So what we are advocating for is the active participation, growth and development of entrepreneurs in South Africa. And a moment ago, you heard us speaking to Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams, the Minister for Small Business Development, second term in the 7th administration. And as she's highlighted, there are some key areas of consistency or continuity that they would like to prioritize. There's also a budget vote that will be taking place next week where she'll be able to add more detail into the focus sectors of the ministry. But outside of that, what else is it that frustrates you as a business owner? What kind of support do you need? What other avenues of resources and unlocking of capital should we be exploring? Well, one such person who knows all about this and even the mental challenges that entrepreneurs typically face is the CEO of Raise Corp, Alon Raise. Such a pleasure to speak to you, Alon.
Thanks so much for having me.
Fantastic.
It's really a pleasure to be on your show.
I'm really excited, and I'm hoping that you caught the tail end of our conversation with the Minister, Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams, who has highlighted that there will be a sense of a continuation in many of the shifts, solutions, and I guess policy strategy that they wanted to put in place in the 6th administration. Does this, I guess, provide you with a level of comfort?
I didn't hear her interview, unfortunately, but the fact that there's continuity, and I did hear you sum up some of the things that she said, which is the actual completion or actually completing what was promised. I think that would go a long way.
Mm. Definitely. And that is needed because it does help to build confidence. But I guess confidence is a tough word for many entrepreneurs to say. It depends on which day you ask them, right, as to how they're feeling. And maybe that's a good place for us just to start, Alon, because you've shared a lot of themes that typically are challenges that are facing small businesses in South Africa today. Perhaps let's highlight at least the top three that need to be addressed urgently.
So I want to maybe approach this from a different perspective. In other words, what can we do as entrepreneurs? What's our mindset? What can the minister think about? And maybe what corporate South Africa or the private sector can think about to answer your question. So from our perspective, from entrepreneurs, my view is that entrepreneurs should be completely agnostic to what's going on, in the sense of if things are changing, then there's opportunity that's created. So look for the opportunity. If a new law comes in, it's creating new opportunity. It's bad for some people, it's good for others. If something collapses, like one of the SOEs, it creates opportunity for people in the private sector and small businesses as well. So where there is bad, there is always an opportunity for good as well. And what I've seen over the 20-odd years that I've worked with entrepreneurs, is the entrepreneurs who've got that kind of lens on what's going on in the market and looking for opportunities that present as a result of change. New government construct right now, new opportunity. So that to me is the most important thing, is how we as entrepreneurs lens our world. If it's woe is me, government is terrible, then, well, that's what it's going to land up being. When you're looking for the opportunity, that's what's going to happen.
I agree. And you're very right. It's really about finding the opportunity and being agnostic to the external environment. Sometimes that's easy, depending on the level of support, the resources that are available, and even the innovative thinking that the entrepreneur might have access to. And I guess the pandemic was a point in case to actually see which businesses and entrepreneurs were agile and were able to respond quite quickly. I'm keen to get your thoughts on some of the key lessons or learnings that can be instilled in entrepreneurs to ensure that they do have that level of agility and ongoing innovation.
Yeah, so that there's many lessons for entrepreneurs, but you've summed up the most important is to be agile, and that's to be a positive and opportunity seeking. So that is number one. Number two is that you've got to be thinking about how does this thing scale in a proper way. What we see is too many businesses don't scale. In other words, they stay small, they eventually get exhausted, and they either are bought out or closed down. Most businesses, as we know, we all know the stats around failure.
Yep.
But a big part of that is that they don't know how to scale. And so they make really bad strategic decisions. So getting a an appreciation for the importance of strategy in small business. It sounds like a big, big word, mm-hmm. and people are afraid of it. It's mm-hmm. not really, if you understand it. So get sort of appreciating strategy and prioritizing that in how you build your business. If I work with small businesses, that's what I ask them to be, is build your strategy and be agile. Those are the two key lessons there.
I find this so refreshing and so important, because you're right. Typically, we think of a business plan versus a strategy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And well, as you know, I wrote a book called Lose the Business Plan.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean, yes. And why I wrote that book was, it doesn't say don't do the business plan. It said, once you've written it, lose it. Because what's more important is the entrepreneur's ability to navigate around obstacles and see opportunity. When I invest in businesses, that's what I'm looking for in the entrepreneur. How are you lensing the world? Are you seeing it in a positive way? Tell me about an obstacle that presented. How did you think about it? How did you get around it? Tell me about the last opportunity you saw. Why did you deem that an opportunity?
Sure.
That's far more indicative of success than that piece of paper that always looks the same, that big J curve. And yeah. You're going to make lots and lots of money.
These are such intriguing questions, Alon, and maybe in a moment we will reference some material that we can use and have a look at in order to provide entrepreneurs with this level of support. But I'm also intrigued to because it speaks to a mental mindset. I'm hoping that sentence structure is correct.
Yeah,
in
yes,
terms of
yeah.
the flexibility of embracing failure and literally jumping forward into opportunities that entrepreneurs should be open to. As you say, many, you know, it really is about skinning the game and the opportunities that you explore. So does this mean that we also shouldn't be too risk averse, perhaps, in terms of exploring and stress testing our business models?
Yeah, I think it needs a huge level of courage. And my mentor taught me from, you know, I've had the same mentor since I've been in my 20s. And he taught me early on my journey that success in entrepreneurship is 99% psychology, or 1% hard work and 10% good luck. And that 99% psychology, managing your own psychology, in other words, when you become successful, to try and remain humble, and when you fail, to pick yourself up, managing all those negative thoughts that are going on, the levels of inadequacy, when you're successful and you're in a room and you feel like an imposter,
yeah.
all those things are managing your own psychology. And what I find fascinating is that all successful entrepreneurs all have doubt. They all have failed in the past, but it's their psychology that is the commonality, that they have this ability to relens their situation, pick themselves up, look for the opportunity, learn from it, and become successful.
100%. Another point that often comes up when we're in conversation with entrepreneurs alone is finance or funding, access to resources, mentorship. And I think typically these are words and phrases that might be thrown around, as we know that they can enable the success of a business. But it's understanding which resource to tap into at the right time and how to use it, right? Are there ways within which we as entrepreneurs also need to start reframing our thinking around these themes?
Yeah, if I can be controversial around the two things that you speak about, finance and mentorship. So this is really, maybe I'm generalizing too much, but you know, as you know, I've been highly exposed to the space. Finance is not the answer. Finance is part of the answer. It's a compelling economic right to exist. I think I've shared that with you before.
Yeah.
That is more important. Have you got something to sell that's different? Have you got a market to sell it to? Do you have the ability to sell it? Do you enjoy selling? And if you sell, will you sell at a profit? Very, very simple statements. Underneath, there's a little complexity under that. But if you don't have a compelling economic right to exist, then it doesn't matter how much money you throw at that business. It'll just leak out. So get the business model correct. Get that thinking correct before you add money. What I see in South Africa is money is seen as the solution, and it's not the solution. The second thing is around mentorship. Mentorship today, you know, we had a few years ago, we had around 31 people apply from, I'm going to say this now, from government and quasi-government institutions who apply to become mentors at Race Corp. we do a very simple case study, which is called the BUSI case study. And you're effectively working out what is net profit. It's you telling a storyline about a lady who owns a shop,
yeah,
and it's got sales, it's got cost of sales. Out of 31 people who applied to become a mentor, two could work out net profit. And these are the people who are so-called mentoring other people. So if there's one thing that we have to get right is who are these mentors? Who are they? What makes them justifiably a mentor and not a personal trainer or something similar? And do they really have the skill sets that they say? So if you're adding, if you think money is going to solve the problem without a compelling economic right to exist, it's going to be failure. Mm. If you've got the wrong mentor, it's like having a bad teacher at school. You're going to fail as well.
Mm. This is so important because it does speak to the adequate training then, not only of the mentors, but the entrepreneurs themselves. For my sins, but it's benefited me greatly. I did an accounting degree. Mm. I'm assuming those are some of the fundamentals entrepreneurs also need to skill themselves with, because sometimes it's easy to sell the passion and assume it will translate into profits on the back of a J curve. But for any entrepreneur who's sitting at home right now and perhaps confused as to what entrepreneurship course to take, and maybe that might not be the right thing, what are, I guess, fundamental tools they can teach themselves, especially to advance their development in terms of taking care of the numbers?
Yeah, I'm very jealous that you did accounting. I failed accounts once, twice. I got it the third time, and now I love it. That financial literacy and understanding that discipline, more than financial literacy for me, is financial discipline. Mm. When you get that right, you start to love the numbers and start to not fear them, that is the turning point for most entrepreneurs.
Very important lesson there. Alon, for anyone who might be listening and perhaps needs some additional support or access to resources in terms of the questions that you've posed and challenged us with today, where can we find this information and, I guess, opportunities to work through it?
So the first is Flowcode, Flowcode, flowcode.co.za. That's going to help you build a strategy. And the second one is raisecorp.com, RAIZCORP.com.
100%. Flow code. Flowcode.
Flowcode. .co.za.
Perfect. Awesome. Just checking on my side that it's working and I found it. So that does help as well. Thank you again for your time, Alon. Always a pleasure speaking to you. And your tweets leave us encouraged, inquisitive, and I guess also with some energy to keep going in understanding the realities that entrepreneurs do face.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. That's the CEO of Raise Corp, Alon Raise, giving us some insight on a 30-minute conversation we've had, really, in focusing on not only what the government is going to do with the Minister Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams. She spoke to us earlier, helping us contextualize how they're looking to maintain a level of certainty and continuity in some of the policies aimed at improving the life cycle and opportunities for small businesses in South Africa. And Alon has given us some key tips as entrepreneurs ourselves. Yes, we can talk about the red tape. We can bemoan the operating environment. We can say things are just too tough and there isn't support. But ultimately, it's in your hands. Control what you can. Ignore the exogenous factors. Well, don't ignore, but work within them. And most importantly, ensure that you're providing solutions that are agile enough, quick enough to implement, and also fundamentally speak to the purpose of your business. Understand how you can scale, because that's typically what holds businesses back. Looking at the key financial metrics that you need to measure success of your business. And beyond just looking at a J-curve, understand that your growth in your business might shift from time to time. At times, you might have to reflect on previous opportunities that you had to take, how best you manage certain challenges, and of course, finding the right tools and resources to help benefit your business. Yes, funding and mentorship is important, but it's how you use it. It's the kind of funding and mentorship that you access that can really make a difference within your business. And sometimes we also need to pay a lot more attention to the level of training and skills development of the same mentors that we look to tap into for support. It's a lot, but it's doable. So, of course, continue failing forward. And as an entrepreneur, make sure that you are agnostic to the external environment.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.